The Lord be with you.
And with
thy spirit. Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So let's begin today by noting the change of church seasons. We've concluded the season of the Incarnation, and now our attention is turned with Jesus toward his sufferings, his cross, and his victory. Behind us is the green colors of the Epiphany season, and we've put on purple, which is the color of penitence and preparation. Today we enter into the pre-Lenten season, beginning to prepare for the disciplines of Lent. We are, in a real sense, preparing for battle with full intentionality. Now, much of our lives are characterized by sublime and happy moments, but of course there are times in which we are called to cross the desert, the wilderness of the soul. And such struggles are the moments for which Lent prepares us. You know, and in our world, in our culture, we tend to be dualistic. And by this, we often make a hard distinction in our thinking, and thus in our approach to life, between body and soul. But the reality is that everything we do involves both. You can't get away from the combination of body and soul. These two aspects are inseparably bound together in the unity which we call the human being. Every exercise we undertake touches both our internal lives and our external bodies. If you want to build muscle, you go to the gym. But this does not happen without an act of the will and a determination, a decision to do so. Most of the time, our physical training depends heavily upon our willing resolution. Physical progress requires a regime of exercise over time and is therefore dependent upon strength of character. The two go together. Likewise, growth in godliness requires a measure of physical discipline. If one wants to pray more, he should then make time in his schedule to do so. That means that chores must be accomplished in a timely manner. That means that he must stay up later or rise earlier to spend time in prayer. The care and health of the body must be addressed in order to nurture the health of the soul. The two are linked. A dualistic approach is not realistic. And of course, this begs the question, why are we concerned with exercising our bodies and souls? The answer? We wish to persevere in faithfulness and in loving obedience to God throughout our lives. We wish to endure the trials of life that invariably come our way, so we prepare as best as we can outside those times of distress. Besides this, growth in godliness is very much concerned with controlling our bodily impulses and the thoughts and desires that arise from those impulses. And we must not overestimate our ability to endure such temptation, so we learn discipline while our souls are quiet and at peace. And thankfully, the Church, in her wisdom, has established the ecclesiastical calendar to get us ready, not only for the trials that we face in this life, but also to prepare us for the next life. The Church thus invites us into a deeper relationship with God in Christ through the Holy Spirit by paying close attention to the cycle of our lives together. As a side note, I recently heard it said that our identities are described by the calendars we follow. There's a lot of truth in this. For many Americans, the seasons with which they are primarily concerned are the various sports seasons. We just finished the football season. Now we have hockey and basketball and then baseball. And then we start the cycle all over again. Sports defines the lives and identities of many Americans. For some of us, it's the academic calendar. These define their lives mostly by when school starts, when the breaks come, and when summer vacation begins. Our calendars are intimately connected to the liturgies of our lives. Let us at least be aware of this connection. Let us, as a parish, a community of faith, be intentional about which calendar we order our lives around. But now let's turn our attention to today's readings. In the epistle, St. Paul makes the analogy that we are spiritual athletes striving for the ultimate prize, the divine life of eternity. The apostle here is encouraging us to put on a seriousness about how we live. We need to adopt a training regime. Excuse me. We need to adopt a training regime so that we would not falter in the race that is set before us. We need to learn to live in temperance, that is, in the discipline of the body, in order to reach the goal that God graciously has for us at the end. We must learn to say no to things that may give us actual pleasure in the moment, because there's a much greater reward for us in the long term. This is the principle of delayed gratification, but extrapolated over a lifetime. One of the problems we face in implementing a life of spiritual discipline and purpose is our lack of faith. Now, I don't mean to suggest that we would deny the fundamental precepts of our faith. We are fine assenting to the creeds, but what we struggle to believe is that all the denial of self will be worth it in the end. After all, is it really all that bad to indulge in a little sinful pleasure in the moment? The race we are running is so long, and the reward? Well, we are exactly like those laborers in the parable that we read today of the householder calling laborers to his vineyard. We work all the day long, and then at the end we get a penny, a stinking little penny. And then we start to look around at the guy next to us who is just now starting his work. And guess what? He ends up getting the same thing we do. It's easy to understand how we begin to feel that it just isn't worth it. Now, for most of us, this doesn't mean that we turn our back on the faith completely and finally, though no doubt some will. We've even seen such falling away in our small little parish here. For most of us, though, we just begin to slack off a bit. I'm just not going to work as hard at my prayer life. I might not go to as many worship services. I'm not going to show up at the church work day. I've done my part. I'll just let someone else take it from here. I'll compromise a little here and a little there. I'll do some pleasurable things here that maybe 5 years ago I wouldn't have ever entertained. I'm going to live my best life. I'm sure you've heard that, which interpreted means I've got something better to do. I don't need to spend the effort to go to prayer or Bible study or this or that. I'm just going to sit this one out. I'm going to shoot for the minimum requirements. But if we look at this, this kind of an attitude is what St. Paul warns us of, for we have disqualified ourselves. Brothers and sisters, let us first give thanks to God that Christ did not give up in his race. He didn't look around and realize it. He was exerting more effort than everybody else, so he could back off a little bit. He powered all the way to the end because he knew the glory that was to be had for him and for all the faithful in his perseverance. From Philippians 2, we read, "And Christ, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God hath highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Christ endured for us, for the glory set before him. Will we be as determined for him?" And secondly, let us be reminded that we train and strive and work not for a fleeting moment of pleasure or enjoyment, but for an eternal reward, for a way of glory that we cannot comprehend. Do we believe this? Do we realize that we are contending for an imperishable crown? Or do we hold the reward of faithful living to be not actually worth all that much bother? In our current existence, all we may see is a penny. We might as well have just picked it up off the ground. We hold the reward that God has set before us cheaply, so we do not exert ourselves that much. We forget that our labor, when compared to the blood and sweat and tears and triumph of Christ, our labor is actually what's insignificant. Our sense of proportion is all distorted. Our spiritual eyes have been blinded by the immediacy of the world. So this morning, we are being challenged to reorient our ideas. The alarm is going off, and the time is now to awake out of our deep sleep. It's time to wake up and to answer the call of the householder. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It seems that we are again at an explicit fork in the road. The gospel challenges us to answer the call of the householder, to go to work in the vineyard. The Old Testament lesson from Joshua 1 puts it this way: As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now let us notice a few things here. You know, Joshua is at the border of the promised land. He's trying to take the people into the promised land. They have wandered for 40 years in the desert trying to get to their reward, and it's just right there. But it's not just a walk in the park. They're not just going to go for a stroll. They have to be strong and of good courage. They have to conquer the land. They have work to do. This is the choice that's set before them. At the end of Joshua, we read Joshua's challenge to the people who are left behind. He's passing on. And he says, choose this day who you will serve. Is it going to be God, or is it going to be all the idols of your own devising? The path that we are called to walk, likewise, the path that we labor through, that we undertake, is not easy. It requires strength and courage. It is indeed difficult. At the same time, let us not neglect that God promises to be with us in the journey, every step of the way. We do not go anywhere where He Himself has not gone. We are not called to deny ourselves in anything that He Himself has not forfeited on our behalf. Also, let us not miss the promised result. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The final reward at the end of our labors, at the end of our earthly sojourn, is most glorious. But there is also success and prosperity and health and well-being to have in our earthly journey. Obedience to God will bring us joy and peace. Now, there are certainly trials to be had in this life. We don't deny that. But let us not overlook the blessings that we have from God every day because of our obedience. Walking with God, working for God, giving ourselves to Him as living sacrifices. Such a disposition of ourselves toward God will bring blessings from Him. And on the other hand, a life lived for self will lead to impoverishment, fear, sorrow, and eternal condemnation. It might be hard in the moment, but in the long term, it is a much, much better thing to follow God. Now, certainly to some extent, this choice that we're describing this morning is set before us every day. But today, it's brought front and center for us. It is time to stand up and answer the householder's call. To this end, we will be undertaking some spiritual training in the Lenten weeks ahead. We are called upon by the church to engage and prepare through denying ourselves a few of the comforts and conveniences that surround us and lull us into complacency. The question is, how will you respond? What discipline will you take up? What commitment will you make to personalize and represent your response to God? And may your commitment, no matter how small or trivial it may initially seem, spur you forward to a deeper love and a stronger, persevering obedience to our Lord. Such loyalty to God will bring you blessings in this life. Such loyalty to God will bring you a glorious, imperishable crown and joy everlasting in the life of the world to come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.